Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Well, we're excited that you're here. Good morning. My name's Kenny. I have the honor of serving as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and I'm excited because we've been in a series that we started last week that's called When the Wind Breathes Fire. This idea that when the wind of God moves, the wind of God blows, that fire is the result in that. And last week, we spent some time talking about the idea of revival. There's a lot of talk in the earth right now about three words, the idea of revival. You've heard the idea of awakening, and then probably you've also heard about an outpouring. And so what we've wanted to do in this series is to try to take and teach you that those three things are actually quite different and unique, and we want you to see and understand what it looks like in the heart of the believer, inside of the church, and in the earth. And so last week, we spent some time talking about revival, and today, we're going to spend some time talking about awakening. And I'm really excited because in January, I set out a calendar for our church, a teaching calendar. And even though God might change some things along what we teach, in fact, this series is something that we felt like the wind of God was blowing, and we decided to step into this rather than something else. We have a list of communicators, people who are going to preach and teach God's word for us. And on that list was one of our worship leaders. His name is Keenan Travis. And Keenan's been on the calendar for a while. And although he begged off of it for a while, I never took his name off the document. And it's been really cool to watch God work in his life through Home Church in some powerful ways. And some things have happened recently that have really shaken Keenan. And so it was just really appropriate that today was the day that he was scheduled to teach us God's word. And so God has put a word on his heart to lead us through, to teach us through today. By the way, it's his first time ever preaching. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to be a good church. We're going to be an encouraging church. We're going to be a holla back church today. Amen. When Keenan says something that you can resonate with, that you would connect to him, that you would encourage him as he does that. So y'all do me a favor, Home Church. You know how we do it. We welcome those who are a guest teacher. Y'all help me welcome Pastor Keenan Travis.
All right, I'm gonna try not to clear my throat as much as I can because it's gonna get on Kenny's nerves. But I beg your forgiveness if I do. This is my security blanket today. Usually I got a guitar and a mic stand in front of me, and I've got some lyrics up on the screen, and I know what I'm singing, and I know what I'm preaching this morning. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't want to be here. Like Kenny said, Kenny ripped my whole first story that I was gonna tell y'all. But I'm going to tell it to you again in a little more detail. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to preach. Kenny told me he came back. Was it last October that you came back? He actually put me on the schedule where he came back and said, hey, man, I'm going to have you preach next year. And then January, he put me on the schedule, and he's been excited about it. He's been telling all of his leaders. He's been jacked up about it. And I have not. I'm still not jacked up about it. I'm terrified to be up here. I'm gonna reach a point where I'm gonna get stuck. This is my fear. I'm gonna reach a point where I'm gonna get stuck, and I'm gonna flounder. But I'm trusting God today that He's gonna see me through it, because I believe that even though I didn't want to be here and I tried to beg out of it, He's got a word that He stirred up in me for you this morning. So, like He said, I had pretty much talked Him out of it. He sat down with me on the couch in his office, and he was like, man, are you going to be able to do this? Like, just tell me, is what's God saying? Pray about it. And I was like, man, I don't know. I don't think that's for me. I don't think that's for me right now. Maybe one day, but not now. And as we, you know, the past couple months have unfolded, God's done a work in my heart. And He's convicted me of a lot of things. And He really used the death of a man. We're all aware, unless you've been hiding in a hole somewhere over the past month, we're all aware that Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And man, this affected me. I saw it and I was shocked and I didn't know how to process it. And then once I got over the shock of it, I was just, my heart was heavy. It was broken. And to be honest with you, I thought that I was feeling the effect of that more than I should have. I went and asked friends. I asked my parents. I asked other people. Am I feeling this too much? What's wrong with me? Should I feel weird that I'm mourning so bad, that my heart's so broken over this situation? And it led me to a place where I felt like God was speaking to my heart and he was convicting me of the things that I had failed recently in. And one of those things was boldness. We saw a man who was killed for his values and he carried his convictions with boldness. He said explicitly that somebody asked him on a podcast, they asked him, what do you want to be remembered for? And he said, I want to be remembered for the courage of my conviction. That was something that God spoke to my heart, and he said that I hadn't been bold in some time, and I had lost the courage of my conviction. And so I'm standing up here today. I share all that to say the reason that I'm here preaching to you today is not because I wanted to. I still don't want to be here. I'm still terrified. This is going a lot better than I thought it would. Me and Kenny put in some reps this week, and they did not go. I didn't get this far, did I? But I'm terrified, but I'm standing up here because I want to show everybody, and I want this to prove that I am convicted and changed, and I'm gonna have courage in my conviction. So I got together with Kenny. I told him I want to preach. We got together to kind of talk about what that looked like, and we sat over lunch and I told him that story. And I said, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I want to preach because I'm so heavily affected about what happened to Charlie Kirk, and I can't get through it, and I feel like there's something that God wants to use this for. There's a reason my heart's broken, and the days after, I kept coming back to the verse in Matthew chapter 5 is to Beatitudes. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for those are the kingdom in heaven. The next part's what grabs me. It says, blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Man, God loves a broken heart. He loves to comfort a broken heart. He loves to use a broken heart. That's part of what my message is going to center around today, is a broken heart that God uses and leads you to conviction and leads you to repentance and leads you to the awakening that we're going to talk about today. So like Kenny mentioned, we're in a three-part series. He taught about revival last week. I'm teaching on awakening this week. And next week, we're gonna talk about outpouring. We're going to teach about outpouring. Kenny made sure that I made that distinction. We're not going to tell you about outpouring. We're going to teach about it. So the reason why Kenny said this would be a perfect week for you to preach is because an awakening is exactly what I experienced. He told you a little bit about that. I just told you my story. God awakened my heart and showed me the areas where I failed. The first thing that I did was it led me to a place of conviction and repentance. What I want to tell you this morning is that we are in an awakening right now. Let me define an awakening for you real quick. This is what Kenny told us it was last week. It's an event that happens in the earth. It shakes the heart of believers. It causes them to wake up. They've been asleep. They've lost conviction. They've lost their boldness. They've lost their courage. But this shakes them awake. It's like an earthquake in the middle of the night. It just shakes you awake, and you're up. You're alert. You're ready to go. This is the first part where I'm going to stumble a little bit. Give me just a moment. Okay. So I'm going to ask you to get out your Bibles. We're going to get into a story. It's about King Josiah. And this is in 2 Kings 22. If you get that out for me, I'm just going to tell you a little history leading up to Josiah's reign before we get into the scripture. So King Josiah was the king of the southern tribe of Israel called Judah. So when Solomon died, the kingdom of Israel split into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is usually called Israel. If you're reading through scripture and you see that, it's usually called Israel or Ephraim. The southern kingdom is called Judah. Josiah is the king of Judah. He takes over his reign at the age of 8. And you can look, I'm not going to read it, but you can look in verse 2. It gives a quick summary of Josiah's reign. It just says that he followed in the ways of the Lord. He followed in the ways of his ancestor David. And he, what was it? I'm sorry, y'all. Listen, I'm new at this. I'm nervous. Thank you. Yeah, it says, Scripture says he followed the way of David and did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's big. Up to this point in Judah, there's been a couple faithful kings. Now, in the northern kingdom, they weren't so lucky. They didn't have any. But up to this point, there's been a couple faithful kings. A faithful king, they turned from idols. They called people out of sin. They called people out of idol worship. And they called people back into the right standing with God and his commands. Now, up to this point, there's been a couple. Most of them, if they did that, they strayed later in their life. And that leads us to Josiah, who took over at the age of 8. And like, come on, guys. Any of you who have or have had an 8-year-old, you probably think if my 8-year-old son was the ruler of a nation, we would be in deep, deep trouble. My dad's making faces back there. So we'd be in deep, deep trouble. This is a sign of the judgment that's already on Judah. So when he takes over, when he's 8, and I'm going to read you through. I'm just going to kind of summarize up to my first verse that I'm going to read. He takes over, and it says, in the 18th year of his reign, he goes and he commissions repairs to the temple. Now, the temple, this is a sign. This is to show us that Judah, I keep saying Israel, but you know what I mean. Judah has been so unfaithful, they let the temple go into disrepair. The temple is where God set up to meet his people in the Old Testament. That's very, very important. Now, at this point, there's idols in the temple. There's idols across the land of Judah. There's sin everywhere. It's just rampant. And as we're going to see, God's word has been hidden away in the temple, and it's not been in front of the people. Many people probably in Judah at this time probably didn't know, probably for a whole generation, they didn't know the commands of God that was written down in his word. They didn't know how far they had strayed. So he commissions repairs to the temple. So he sends his secretary to get the high priest, and they're going to gather all the silver from the temple so that they can pay the craftsmen so that they can repair the temple. And in the process of doing this and searching out the silver, the high priest finds the book of the law. Now, the book of the law, it's nothing special. It's nothing that we don't have. It's the first 5 books of your Bible. It's God's word that he handed down to Moses to hand down to the generations in Israel so that they could heed his commands and they knew the promise that he had given them. So the high priest gives it to the secretary. The secretary brings it back to Josiah, and he reads it in Josiah's presence. And here's what, if you go down to verse 11, I'm going to read it to you. This is Josiah's reaction to hearing the book of the law that had been hidden away in the temple. He says, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. Now this isn't Hulk Hogan. I know I got a friend out here. He's real big into WWE. This isn't Hulk Hogan tearing his shirt. This isn't a display of like dominance over your opponent. This is a sign that he had heard something shocking. He had heard something that caused him to be deeply grieved. And it's the first sign that Josiah humbled himself before the Lord, and that was his moment of repentance. Now, when the book of the law was found and it was read to the king, Josiah's reaction, that signaled to us, this is the awakening. This is the awakening. This is what we're here to talk about today. Josiah, they found the book of the law. This was the event that shook the earth. It shook the nation of Judah. That moment, Josiah the king heard the word of the Lord, and he came over deep conviction and realized that we've not been following this. Guys, we've got idols in the temple that's supposed to be for the Lord. We've got them strewn about the land. We don't even know this word. And so the next thing he does is, well, let me just be very clear. First thing he does is he reaches a place of repentance. He's convicted by that. He reaches a place of repentance. And then the next thing he does is he gets together some trusted advisors, including the high priest, the secretary, and he says, we have to go see what God wants us to do now. because we have strayed so far. So they go and they see a prophet of the Lord. I'm going to pick back up in verse 15 if you want to go down there. Here's what the prophet of the Lord tells these men to take back to Josiah. It says in verse 15, she said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched." At this point, these men are listening to the prophet of the Lord, and they're probably thinking, man, that's tough, but that's fair. I see what else she has to say. And then in verse 18, we're going to see, remember, when Josiah heard the word of the Lord, he tore his robes, sign of conviction, sign of repentance. He had heard something that shocked him. They had strayed so far. This is what the Lord says to the king of Judah. I'm picking back up in verse 18. It says, "Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see the disaster I'm going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. So even though Judah had been so wicked, they had strayed so far from God, they didn't even know his commandments, they didn't know the promise that he had set for them, it says that he's going to hold off judgment because of how faithful one man was in his repentance, and that's Josiah. It started with repentance, and then he went to go see what the Lord wanted them to do. And the Lord comes back and says, "I still have to bring judgment because my anger, you've built up so much wrath that I still have to bring judgment, but I'm going to delay it because one man was faithful." And this is my three-point message. You always hear about a pastor bringing a three-point message. This is the three-point message. You just forget all the other stuff. Don't forget the other stuff. But there's three things that Josiah did after he heard the word of the Lord. The first thing he did was he gathered all of Judah in the temple. He got them. The scripture says that he gathered them least to greatest. He gathered everybody in the temple, everybody in the land of Judah that he could get there. They came. He used his influence as king to get everybody to come. And I'm going to read in chapter 23, verse 3. I'll give you just a second to flip there because I didn't give you much notice. But it says he read the book of the law in front of them. And this is what verse 3 says. "The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart, all his soul, and thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant." The awakening started with Josiah, just like it starts with us. It starts in our hearts. It starts with repentance. It started with something that happened. It shook Josiah's heart. It led him to a place of deep conviction. It led him to a place of repentance. It started, the awakening of an entire nation started with one man and his repentance. The second thing Josiah did is he tore down every idol and high place in the land. He went from the altars to the high places. He even tore down all the false gods, the false household gods, all the false idols, the household idols. And he purged the lands of the prophets, the spiritists, and the mediums. For us, this is purifying our heart. What Josiah did to his nation is what we need to do to our heart. Our hearts need to be purified. We need to seek out God. If there's anything that we need to repent of, if there's any part of my heart that is not pleasing to you, God, we need to cut it out. We need to get rid of the idols and the pet sins that we've been holding on to for too long. In response to God's word, Josiah purged the idols from an entire nation. What are we going to do in response to what God's doing in the earth right now? Are we going to say, God, cleanse me, cleanse my heart. I repent of my sins. I turn away from it. I don't need anything but you. I don't need any idols. There's my finances, God, they're yours. The lust that I feel in my heart, God, I give it to you. I'm laying it down. I'm not tempted by it anymore. You're not pleased with it. I don't want it. And then the third thing that Josiah did, I didn't tell y'all this at the beginning, but this is going to be a quick message. I know Kenny says that every week. Listen, I said that this morning, and everybody in our meeting went, right, Kenny says that every week. I said, I promise you, it's my first time. This is a quick message. Y'all never make a liar out of me. The third thing that Josiah did is he reinstituted the Passover celebration. Now, this is important. For the nation of the ancient Israelites, this was to symbolize how God had brought them out. It was to remind them how God had brought them out of slavery in Egypt. You know the story. You should know the story. If not, I'm going to summarize it real quick. There was a point in ancient Israel where the Israelites had been in bondage to the Egyptians for hundreds of years. And one day, God sent a man named Moses to bring them out. He sent a man named Moses, and he performed signs and wonders. He sent plagues to the nation of Egypt so that they would release God's people. And when he brought them out of that bondage, one of the first things that he said is, I'm instituting a celebration so that you can do this to remember what I did, so that you can pass it down through your generations and you never forget the work that God has done. It was a sign of his covenant renewal, the promise that he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was a sign that he was re-upping that and he had not forgotten his people, even though they had spent hundreds of years in slavery. For us, one of the ways that we remember what God has done for us is we take communion. At the Last Supper, Jesus gave the disciples the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. He told them to drink of the wine. He said, this is my blood spilled out so that every time that you drink it, you remember me. You remember what's about to happen. You remember the sacrifice that I made to free you from your sin, to give you eternal life. Too often, I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm going to tell you here in a second a story that came to mind when I was just being convicted over this. But too often we forget where God's brought us from. We forget the miracles that he's performed to bring us here. We forget the work of the Lord in our lives. I'm here. I'm here because of the work of the Lord in my life. If God didn't work in my life, I wouldn't be at this church. If God didn't work in my life, I wouldn't be standing right here. I just told you that. I still don't want to be right here. I'm almost through my message. I'm ready to be done. You're here because God has brought you here. This was a couple years ago. I had a little bit of a medical scare, and I was having migraines, just constant migraines. I was having, upwards of 6 or 7 a month. It was affecting my work. It was affecting just being able to go out and serve at church. I went to the doctor, and while I was there, he said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and give you a kind of physical. And he took out his stethoscope, started listening to my heart, and he said, huh, now I'm getting worried. And he started listening to my neck, and he goes, ooh. I'm getting really worried at this point. I'm like, just come out and say it. What's going on? He said, well, there's a heart murmur that I've never heard before. And, I'm hearing it all the way up into your neck. And he said, that can be a sign of like early blockage, like early, blockage. Like people get blockage in their arteries and they have strokes. I'm blanking. This is what happens when you get nervous, guys. And so he sent me to some specialists and found out they did some tests. They found out I've got a heart murmur. Weird, I've never had one before. And they also found like a little hole in my heart. It's in the wall that separates the two chambers. And I was told, yeah, it's not a huge deal. We do want to get you checked out. We want to get you to see some specialists. It's not usually a huge deal. It's more common than you think. So I went to some specialists, and they all told me different things. I got good report back from the cardiovascular surgeon. She said, your arteries are healthy. Like, you're just, those, the tests that they run are not meant for young arteries that can expand and contract to the degree that a young body can. What he's hearing is just turbulent blood flow. So you don't have any blockage. And I'm for months, I'm waiting up to these specialists, see what they hear. I'm just, man, I'm heavy. I'm like, man, I'm gonna have complications my whole life. Like, I might die early. This might take years off of my life. It did cause me to lose some hair over the stress, but but I'm fine. I went to the cardiologist, and he looked at the test, and he said, yeah, it's really common. I wouldn't worry about that. He said, but you know what? He said, there is some studies, and it's not been, there's not a hard link, but there are some studies to suggest that. You said you came in here for migraines, right? And I said, yeah. He said, well, there are some studies that suggest that migraines are in some part caused by, like, the hole in your heart. They've seen some people that are at high risk, and they get the hole patched, and migraines their whole life, they just go away. And so I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I guess I'm good. I'm gonna have to deal with the migraines, but I'm healthy. I'm not gonna die early like I thought I was. Well, then we went to a youth conference that at my old church I went to every year. It's called Accelerate. And there was a woman up there preaching, and she was preaching on healing. And she stopped in the middle of her message. There's 3,000 people in the room. And she says, God's telling me right now that somebody went to the doctor. They were having complications. The doctor listened to their heart and said they had a heart murmur. They went and got some tests run and found they had a defect in their heart. And a hole. She said, I think God's telling me it's a hole right in the middle. She said, God is telling me, whoever that is, you're healed right now. And I looked down the row at my mom and I said, I'm glad she's not talking about me. And my mom slapped me on the back of the head. You said, you claim that right now. To tell you that a couple months later, I'm sitting around a table at a men's group, and we're having like prompted discussions. And one of the prompts was, tell everybody at the table about a time that God's worked in your life, about a time that God's moved in your life. And I'm like, everybody else go, because I gotta sit here and think. This is like a month later. I gotta sit here and think. I don't know what God's done. So it got to me, everybody told their story, it got to me, and I'm just like, I'm weeping. And they're like, what is wrong? A minute ago, you didn't know what you were gonna tell us. And I said, that's the problem. I'm so convicted right now because I forgot what God did a month ago. I forgot what he did in my life a month ago. He spoke directly to me in a room of 3,000 people. Haven't had a migraine since. Forgetting what God's done for us. I want us to be reminded this morning of what God's brought us through. There's one more verse that I want to read to you before I get into the response time. And y'all, be nice to me. When I get into response time, y'all got to move. If God's tugging your heart, you got to move. It's my first time. You want me to do this again? Okay, forget that. You probably don't want me to do it again. I told my dad yesterday, I was going to tell y'all just to make sure that after this is over, everybody send Kenny emails and just say, man, we just love what Kenan had to say. He did such a great job. And by the way, we never want him to preach again. We like you too much. We like you too much, but he did great. But there's one more verse I want to read before I get into my response time. It's in 2 Kings 23:25. It says, neither before nor after Josiah was there. Sorry. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. It's high praise when the creator of the universe decides we can't end this story without giving Josiah a helmet sticker. He did so good. He turned back to me with everything he had. We can't, if you don't know what a helmet sticker is, it's like a gold star in class. When you're on the football team, you do something good, you make a big play, you get a sticker on your helmet. But Josiah did so good that I have to mention how I have to sing his praises by ending the story, like just telling how great Josiah was in turning back to the Lord and what his repentance did in the nation of Judah. Church, God's moving in our midst today. He's moving in our church. We saw that in these past couple of weeks. We've been busting at the seams. We're going to have to stop roping off the back because we're squeezing everybody in too much. I think people are scared of BO and bad breath, but he's moving. And I want to be a part of that move. I want it to be said of me when I get to heaven. I want to get a helmet sticker. I want to get a gold star. I want to be said of me. He responded to the awakening. He turned back to God with everything he had. I'm starting here. This is my courage. So I just want to get into a response time. We're going to open up the altars. I'm going to ask the elders and their wives to come. And I would just ask you to feel free. If God's tugging on your heart, if God's telling you to move, by the way, you can go ahead and stand. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how to administer this for the first time. We say this every week when we do a response. Feel freedom in this moment. If God's calling you to respond, move. You don't even have to wait until I'm done giving the response. Move. First thing I want to say is, if you're feeling convicted because you've fallen asleep, if you've been awakened in the last month or however long, altar is open for you to come to repent today. That's where it starts. That's how it spreads. It starts with our repentance. And then others see that. And they see the fire that started. That's what I'm hoping you see in me today. If that's you, you can come to the altar. This is your time. Feel free to come repent. Seek God on what to do next. Spirit's convicting you of the idols in your life. If he's convicting you of that little pet sin that you just can't quite let go of, it's time to repent. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, it's time to repent. It's time to come down to the altar. It's time to ask God, what part of my heart isn't pleasing to you? What part of my heart isn't pure? Purify me this morning, because I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this move. I want to move with you, God. And the last thing I'll say, if you're feeling guilty today because you've forgotten what God's done in your life to bring you here, like I did, it starts with asking God to remind you. God, I'm sorry. In my life. I need a reminder of your mercy in my life. If that's you, we have communion available. Start by remembering the work that Jesus did for you on the cross. Take your sins away. Take away the sins of the world. Give you eternal life. If that's you, you can move. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.